are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Everybody to Max and Friends tonight. We want to give a shout out to Max, who's in Italy right now. And you are on the air with Greg and Tamara Montana.
And tonight we're going to be talking about affection. And there's some fascinating telltale signs when it comes to affection, how it affects relationships, and what you can do to add some spice to your relationship through affection.
Well, and one of the topics that Max was excited about having us cover tonight is what happens when affection is almost non-existent or very, very, very low. And this is one of the things that Greg and I love to talk about, because that's one of our love languages, is showing physical affection. It's the way we connect to each other. It's the way we connect to our soul and know that all is well.
And there's one huge telltale sign, and we're going to start with that. If you notice couples walking down the street, when they're holding hands, how does that feel? When you see a couple walking down the street and they're holding hands and you can tell there's an energy there, that's a good sign that the relationship is healthy and working well. When we see couples walking into sessions or walking down the street and they're sort of keeping their distance, not a good sign. Because when physical affection starts to wane, it typically has roots deeper in other problems in the relationship. When physical affection is present and healthy and people feel healthy to touch each other, you'll even notice when you're in an argument that when you're really feeling a little feisty, you will square off and you won't want to be touched. What is it that people say when they're really angry with their spouse? Don't touch me. So affection is a great way, it's a great thermometer for your relationship. And one of the things to keep in mind is that, okay, some people are more affectionate than others, and this is really a strong point for Tamara and I. We are incredibly affectionate. We're very touchy-feely. I think I'm surprised that people don't tell us more often in public to go get a room, but we're very appropriate the way we connect with each other. I know what her affection buttons are, and we're going to talk a little bit about those, and you should know what your partners are. You should definitely know what yours are, and if you don't, that's not a good sign. So hang around. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that, and especially we want to encourage, if you're listening to this with your partner, turn to them right now and ask them, what is your favorite form of affection? If you're listening to this alone, take out your phone and text your significant other, whoever you're having romance with these days, text them, what's your favorite form of affection, while we're right here on the radio. So go for it. And in the meantime, we'll be talking a little bit about some of the background.
Well, and let's just take a look about where our video were in our chat. In growing up, how did you witness your parents showing affection towards each other or not? You know, that tends to be not so much our desire, but what we default to when we're in relationships currently.
And Tamara, when Tamara talks about videotape, she's talking about how are you programmed? How are you recorded? How have you recorded what affection means? I'm just going to tell you guys off the bat. When I was growing up, my mother had a problem with my dad cheating, and at 2 years of age, when I was two, she divorced my father. And because of that, I became her little surrogate husband. So this is very common. People tend to go down one of two paths. They either have enmeshment issues, which means it being too close to people feels icky because someone did something where they crossed the boundary, and that's where I kind of come from. Or they tend to have abandonment issues. And these are people that are afraid nobody will touch them or no one will hold them or no one will be there because they were abandoned and it was painful as a child. So for me, I grew up in a situation where my mother was probably a little too affectionate, always snuggling, always wanting to touch and hold, sharing a lot of information in conversations, just because she wasn't in a romantic relationship, so I was getting a lot of inappropriate affection. Consequently, I learned to crave it as a form of love, and at the same time, I'm really, my wife will tell you, Tamara, I am incredibly sensitive to paternal or maternal affection around anyone. It's a huge, recording violation for me. So now I've recorded the way affection should be processed. What about you, Tamara? Are you more of a...
Well, one of the things I grew up witnessing was my father is very affectionate. One of the things he didn't discriminate was his love. And that was a very sore spot for my mom. And I think, you know, because of that, she tended to withdraw. She was a little bit more rigid in that respect. And opposites attract many, many, many times. So one of the things is we didn't see my parents be very demonstrative at all, you know, in public or even in private. But you could tell that the love was present, it was there, and definitely guarded. And one of the really neat things is that because I grew up with that, and, you know, Greg, because of his background too, one of the things when you don't experience growing up the affection that you yearn for or that you desire in a very healthy way, one of the things you do is you seek out, you do research. For me, I went on to become a psychotherapist because I wanted to know what made relationships work. Not only what made them work, what made them thrive, what made people fall in love and stay in love forever, for a lifetime. And really, some of the stuff that Greg and I have been coming across has been so exciting. First, the first thing that we've been talking about lately is something that Harville and Helen Hendricks have discovered in relationships when they were writing a book about couples. And one of the theories they had that they wanted to prove out was, well, if couples just gave more in relationships, if they were just more giving, the opposite was what they found.
So what they thought was that if couples would just, you know, that the problem with couples is that people are withholding. And when they really got into it, and Harville and his wife really, you know, they were pastors, they worked with hundreds of couples, and eventually ended up writing a book, because what they really realized was that people really aren't shy of giving. They're shy on getting. People tend to push away the thing that they complain they don't get in relationship. And this is a really weird phenomena, which at its extreme ends up looking like things like Stockholm syndrome or something like that, where you know, people say, you know, well, you never really help me with the kids, and we don't spend time together, and we don't have a date night, whatever it is. And their spouse will say, okay, well, let me help you with the kids right now. Well, not now. Or how about if we go on a date night, you know, in the next couple of weeks? Well, I'm too busy then. And it's bizarre that when our partner tries to give us the thing that we want, we tend to push it away. And the reason I believe is, and Tamara, you can comment on this, is because we get addicted to our state. If you grew up as a child and you were constantly abandoned, you got addicted to being abandoned. It's painful. You don't like it, but you know how to handle it. Emotionally, you know how to process abandonment, so you end up attracting relationships that are familiar. Because even though it's painful and familiar, it's better than the unknown, which is like, oh my gosh, you know, if I go explore a crazy relationship where I actually get healthy love, I don't know how to handle that. And we get addicted to our state if we tend to have gotten a lot of affection, and it's healthy affection, and we love that, we're going to find a healthy, affectionate partner. But just know that the purpose of all of this is your personal evolution. And what that means is you're learning to master being loving and asking for love. Those two things. And when you do ask for love, it's so important that you let it come in, that when people try to give you that love, whether it's holding your hand or whatever, that you try to receive it. Now, for those of you that are listening and you've got issues with affection, with being touched, with people, I'll tell you, Tamara's right now, she loves when I rub her back, when I just put my hand on her back. and just rub her back slowly.
Or my head, too.
Or her head. Mm-hmm. I love that, too, when she runs her fingers through my hair. Crazy goosebumps. you know, and people like to, you know, rub each other's arms or whatever it happens to be.
And some people love, like, a real soft, light touch where it's just like a little tickle and literally can give your whole body goosebumps. And then some people like a harder, firmer massage touch, or, you know, if they're not used to that much tingle, then they like hard pats, like,
right,
like that.
Right.
You know?
And that's one of the things, just notice that. I'm going to strongly suggest that if you're one of those patters, whenever you hug someone, you whack them on the back a couple of times. Why don't you just stop? It's not fun for the recipient. Nobody, you do, it's nervous energy. And you do it because it's uncomfortable to connect, especially if, you know, if you're homophobic and you give someone of the same sex a hug, you kind of like want to tap it out, you know, like, like when people are wrestling and they tap the mat three times to say, okay, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
It's nervous energy, and it's really not tolerating the power of love.
Right.
So notice that affection, for those of you that do feel averse to it, is a powerful thing. And if you're going to learn to master being loving and expressing love the way you were intended to by, you know, your creator, by whoever, by the forces of nature, by whatever feelings in your body are yearning for love, if you're going to really learn to express and receive that beautifully, then learning to tolerate the power of affection, of touch, of connection is going to be critical. And when I say tolerate that power, here's an exercise. get with your significant other and just hold them. Hold their hand, hold their feet, hold their head, hold their face. I love to, you know, just make my hand like a little cradle, and Tamara can rest her cheek in there.
Mm-hmm.
And just as an affectionate touch, and just to sit still and notice your feelings. And if they're uncomfortable, so uncomfortable that you can't tolerate it, then go ahead and back off and say, wow, that was pretty uncomfortable. However, if it's true that you can tolerate that power and you can feel it and work through those feelings and get to a point where you're in touch and comfortable, what you'll notice is something very synergistic will happen. And for those of you that have ever danced and felt that you and your partner's body became one in that dance, whether it's ballroom dancing or salsa or any kind of dancing where there's body contact and there's a flow, and your bodies become one, it's a wild spiritual experience where almost like there's a one thinking in two bodies, and they synergize. And touch can be that way as well. You know, there's times when Tamara is touching me in a way, she's almost following my yearning, you know, like, and we are constantly in contact. We have never done a radio show right now where we've got at least three or four parts of our body touching, you know, her legs leaning on my hip, I got my elbow on her, she's got her hands on my shoulder, running her fingers through my hair, kissing me on the neck, I'm constantly kissing her. You know, it's just something that we really feel expresses our commitment in our marriage and our love for each other.
Well, and notice what comes up for you when you see another couple that are so freely expressing the love between the two of them. Notice if there isn't a moment of, wow, that is extraordinary. Almost like watching a sunset or seeing a rainbow, or when love is palatable, when it's in the air, there's some magic that spills over and actually gives other people permission to do the same. And if it's so uncomfortable and you're just so resentful because maybe it's not present for you right now, just know that love is who you are. You do not have to seek for love. We just have to seek to remove the barriers that prevent us from the love that we're craving. Because literally, we are created in love and we are love. And we're either expressing and extending that love or we're sending out a call for love. So when you notice that someone is just nasty and they're just bitter and resentful. What if you allowed yourself just for those few moments to say, wow, there's someone who's calling for love. They're wanting love in their life. And it really helps Greg and I both with a new perspective that instead of being resistant to someone who may be just admiring or someone who may be shying away, just to notice that it's available for all of us. And if you think about it, literally one of the things, one of our friends, as I said, you know, we can hug people even with our eyes. We don't even have to touch them physically. And there's a way that we can express love that it's felt. Like someone touched my heart, like a movie touched my heart. Now, nobody physically reached out of the movie screen and physically touched your heart, but you were moved. You were moved in a way that reminded you that you were alive, that you have a purpose on this planet, that there's a reason for you being here, and there's something meaningful that is really aching for expression. And that's why I think we're so entertained by movies in ways that move us when we're not physically feeling it in our love relationships right now. And then the other thing I just want to make mention too is I was hearing, on the Oprah show, on her radio show, she had one of the gals on there from Family Ties, and she came out that she was gay. And she was having a really hard time because she was out with it, but her partner wasn't, or it was vice versa, something like that. And it was very hurtful to the spouse who was out with it that just wanted to reach over and hold their partner's hand and wanted to just express love. Yet the person who really wasn't out with their preference of who they love, it was very uncomfortable for them. And when they found that common ground between each other where there was a permission, come what may, you know, let other people have their judgments or have their say or have whatever it is they're going to have, regardless of their opinion, you are truly free when it doesn't matter what their opinion is to how you choose to express your love.
And that's one of the things that we have to acknowledge is that we're in a society where there's a stigma for public affection with homosexual couples. You know, we live in a culture where, and you know, I know some incredibly beautiful gay marriages. People have great relationships.
Oh yeah.
But they won't touch each other in public, and it's rare that people will. You have to be in a very liberal community in order to be able to express yourself freely that way. But we just want to acknowledge that there is a stigma there, and we respect whatever you feel comfortable with, whatever your orientation is. Tim and I are straight up vanilla, heterosexuals. We're not bisexual or have no other inclinations. But if you do, then please be.
Oh yeah, because God doesn't discriminate. And we don't have to discriminate with our love. That whatever flavor it shows up as, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I think we just need to remind each other how precious that is and encourage people that are closed up like a tight bud to just blossom on the inside of their heart. Because sometimes it just takes someone, giving a little wink or reaching over and just putting your hand on their shoulder or saying, you matter to me and you belong here on this planet. There's something so healing just with physical touch. And one of the things as I was studying to become a psychotherapist, one of the studies they did that's been banned, it's illegal now, but they did a study on children who were in an orphanage in Romania, and a group of children, they just cared for their physical needs. So they changed their diapers, they gave them food, but they didn't give them any affection. And another group of kids, they actually included affection. The ones that did not have any affection died. They literally died within a year.
In fact, it's a disease they call marasmus. And it is when children do not have physical affection, their immune system shuts down and they die. They literally, it's almost a form of starvation and perishing in life itself. And I'm just going to say this outright, and I want you to comment it on it, Tamara. I have never seen a good reason for people in love to not have physical affection. I've heard all kinds of bad reasons. I've had all kinds of excuses related to trauma in childhood, excuses related to not feeling safe for one reason or another, excuses related to having an affair, or, feeling unsafe in the romantic relationship, but then, you know, it's like they don't want their spouse to touch them too much, but then they're out getting Swedish massages all the time. You know, look out. And there is no good reason in a romantic relationship to not be very, very generous with affection. I have yet to hear one. Would you agree, Tamara? I mean, I'm just trying to...
Not that there's anything wrong with Swedish massages, because we
No, that's true.
We love those.
And
but there really isn't a good reason. Now, I have heard an argument. You know, I think sometimes parents like to curb it because they don't want it to be a gateway of permission for their children to be promiscuous. And they don't want to be grandparents before they're ready. And so they don't want to give any hint as to that leading to something else and being okay. But you know what? One of the things is it's depriving your children. For the one of the greatest gifts you can give your children is to physically love your partner, love their mom or their dad.
She's talking about your partner now, not your children. It is mm-hmm. so important that you be extremely careful and appropriate with your touch mm-hmm. and generous with mm-hmm. your children. You want to be very generous with that and yet be incredibly careful about how you're touching your kids.
Well, honor.
In a way that's got 100% respect and isn't in any way, you know, kind of controlling. We've all seen those scenes in a, you know, in a movie or something where, you know, a pimp-like leader is reaching over and touching someone in a way that's like, oh, no. You know, and it just sends a violent surge down my spine. But one of the things I want to ask is that right now, ask yourself, if you have an aversion to affection, if there is no good reason for that aversion, and don't kid yourself, oh, I don't feel comfortable with that. Look, you're in a physical human body, and you're not the body, but who you are is inside of it. And to the extent that you're consciously aware of what goes on in your body and can feel, you know, the pain of it and the emotional pain, that's what keeps you alive and healthy. There are so many different variations on how disease is psychosomatic in nature, and people are shut down and they don't even realize, oh, and they never saw it coming and they don't know why. But if you talk to people that have healed themselves of cancer and really difficult diseases, there's always an emotional aspect of healing. Mm-hmm. And if you start to really detect the subtle signs, the signs like, you know, wow, you know, I really don't notice affection. Maybe you're shut down. Or I notice that the only response I ever have to affection is negative. And I get angry when people try to be affectionate. Well, just notice that. And you can take baby steps. This is the most important thing in working with any couple, is be willing to take baby steps, to stumble and bumble with your partner a little bit, to experiment with your partner without having to get it right the first time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, ask your partner, what kind of affection do you like? You know, what's your favorite kind of affection? And for those of you that have gotten, you know, a text message back, we ask people to send a text message. You know, what's your favorite form of affection, or how do you like to be affectionate? What's your favorite form of touch? You know, go ahead and start, scheduling a time. You know, take a look at the future. Start planning that you're going to give that to your partner in a way that's loving and generous. And be very conscious when you do that, because they might have a reaction. And, you know, don't be jumping on their case like, well, you told me you like that kind of touch. You know, just check in and say, hey, you know, I was trying to, you know, give you some love. I've heard that it's really hard for couples, you know, to receive. Is that what you're experiencing? Or couch it, you know, set the context. Say, hey, you know, I was listening to this radio show and they were talking about affection, and I'd like to sort of get a gauge of, you know, how I feel with affection. So can we just have a snuggle session here and get together with your partner and get really close and you know, run your fingers through their hair, run your hand over their back, you know, and notice that we have not even touched on how touch and affection can lead to sexual, indulgences. So what we're talking about here is truly a very clean form of loving.
Well, and I'm so reminded of the movie Regarding Henry. I don't know if our listeners remember that movie or not, but it was with Warren Beatty and Regarding Henry. Right. I think it's Warren Beatty. And one of the things was he's a very high-powered attorney and, you know, very rigid and very strong boundaries and didn't show affection to his wife whatsoever. And interestingly enough, we find out later that he was having affairs. And I'm wondering if there isn't something attached to that. If you're afraid to show affection to your wife, maybe it, you know, limits your options with other women or something. But one of the things that happens to Henry as he's this high-powered attorney is he goes into a liquor store and ends up that a guy comes in there and holds up this liquor store, and he ends up getting shot in the head, right in the center of his forehead. And he doesn't die, but he lives, and he's in a coma for a while. But when he wakes up from this coma, part of the brain that was hit, and all of a sudden he was very sensitive to the feelings of the people around him. He was sensitive to his daughter's feelings. He was sensitive to his wife, and they were sitting at the table, and his injury, she spilled her orange juice. And she starts to shudder like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be in so much trouble. And he looks at her, and he looks at his orange juice, and he knocks his orange juice glass over and goes, ha, look there, I do that sometimes. And she started to laugh. She started to giggle. And she started to see her dad again and just started to feel a connection to life itself. And his wife and him were walking through the park. I believe this was like in New York, and he reaches down and he grabs a hold of her hand, and she says, what are you doing? And so he reaches over to hold her hand, and she says, what are you doing? And he says, didn't I do this before? And she says, good heavens, no, you would never show affection in public, ever, ever, ever. He goes, well, then I've got some lost time I need to make up for. He goes, there's no reason I should ever withhold my affection towards my beautiful wife. And it was priceless, because it shows going from, a very rigid way of existing in the world, which is scary. You know, you don't know if you're in or you're out, or if you got the grades to meet the, you know, high standards of a prominent school, if you're going to get in with the grades, and you've got to put your nose to the grind, and you've got to, you know, live up to all these really amazingly unreasonable standards of perfection in order to feel some significance. And we can feel significance with each other by our acceptance of exactly who we are and exactly where we're at, no matter what's going on in our life, to be able to look at our spouse, to be able to look at our lover, the person that we share our affection with. And when they walk through that door, to just go, oh, and put your hand on your heart and just like, it's you. And every time, I'm not talking about just occasionally because it's their birthday. I'm talking about like, oh, even today when Greg called me, you know, we'd been apart, you know, for a couple of hours. It just felt so good to hear his voice, because I'm like, oh, it's you. And it's just, it's a warming ointment to your heart, and really gives you a reason for being here, I think.
And I know Tamara, one of her safe places to land, so to speak, is her grandmother, Nana, who passed away some years ago. But whenever she saw her, it was open arms, and run into those arms and get a hug. And I'm sure each one listening here has some relationship like that, whether it was a grandparent or an uncle or somebody you felt really safe with. And imagine that relationship that you felt so safe with. and probably a paternal or you know, grandparent, and feel that feeling now of, wow, there's a safety where I could be in their arms, you know, the safety of being in someone's arms. Now, for guys listening here, if you can't really relate to this, what you ought to relate to, and Tamara can confirm this, and your spouse certainly will, is that if you're more of the masculine ilk, and doesn't matter whether you're male or female, but if you have that sort of masculine temperament, your significant other probably is a little more feminine, or if they are, they are going to love having your arms wrapped around them. And you might not say, well, I don't, you know, I mean, we tend to give to our partner what we most value. You know, it's crazy, but, you know, guys will give their wife like a wrench for Christmas and think, you know, and this is the type of thing we do, the kind of gifts we give and how we give them. So when it comes to affection, it's really important that you take a look at, it's crazy, but the little thing, the littlest thing, especially for guys that feel a little starved for sex or something, find out what that thing is that she really loves, and don't do it as a form of, you know, feeling like, all right, if I do this, I can get sex. It's just out of generosity that you're trying to say, okay, if I'm feeling undersexed, it's probably because there's a lack of connection in the relationship. Well, the place to start is with some form of physical touch that she feels really good about. And, you know, because it's like women very frequently will feed on that, and not as a general rule either. Guys love it too. So when you're actually, you know, touching someone and holding them, and Tamara and I are affectionate all the time. We don't have sex all the time, but we are affectionate all the time. And if you're, you know, if you're going
we
more than
on a pretty regular basis.
We are a couple times a week is, you know, minimal. And if you're not experiencing that, then you may want to really take a look at, okay, let me just play a little bit with some of the things that might mean nothing to me, but are really, really important to my partner. We've recently been working with a couple that's like that. And she just burst into tears when he would reach out and take her hand. And she said it was so sweet. And he never used to do it. And he never did it because he was uncomfortable with the feelings that it seemed to create. But when he realized what it meant, he was reaching out and holding her hand all the time. Now, at first, she burst into tears, and it broke a little bit of a flood, and it was like, wow, you know, he didn't know how to take it. But then now, it's natural. And it's a form of, it's how they know they love each other. And keep in mind, we started by saying that whenever we work with a couple, we are very conscious, not so much about what they're saying, but and quite a bit about how they're saying it, but especially whether they establish contact, whether they walk in, sit down, and hold hands, whether they are able to, you know, when he walks through the door, does he let her through and put his hand on her back as she walks through first? Does he open the door for her? Do they give each other a kiss on the cheek? These are all those little indicators that most people think you don't notice, but we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the really neat things that just happened this week was when Greg and I, because we're always looking at how we can evolve and be an example in our own lives and not hypocritical. You know, we want to, you know, because we've definitely gone through the challenges of what most relationships go through, and that either power struggle or, you know, do you love me like I love you, and, you know, all the questioning and all the insecurity, which is just natural and normal and all part of our repertoire of experiences, you know, until we've been in relationships for 40, 50, 60, 70 years, you know, there's going to be that beautiful dance of, you know, do you love me? Are you there for me? And one of the things I was sharing with Greg, how important it was for me that feeling like he's got my back. And that's always brought up some, well, what do you mean have your back? You know, I've got, you know, God has our back. And yes, and this is true. But there's something extraordinary knowing that your partner has your back. And I, you know, he let me really delve into explaining what that meant for me. And having my back isn't meaning like you've got to be against anybody else. Having my back is like having a soft place to land, that no matter what it is I'm going through, no matter what I'm feeling, that there's a safe place I can share what's true for me. What's true for me in the moment. It may not be true for me 5 minutes from then because I've been able to cathart. I've been able to release, to be able to share with the love of my life what's going on with me. Having my back is having somebody there say, come here, honey. I've got you. You're safe with me. You're good with me. And for the most part, for me, having my back is like when you have that with your spouse, when you can stand united with your children, when you can stand united in public as well as private, there's no wedges and there's no better example of what is possible for other couples in relationship to really feel like you've got a partner in life, like you've got a lover in life that sees you. You know, we all just are moved, or many of us are moved by the scene in Avatar when the one avatar looks at the other and says, I see you. You know, there's something exquisite about being seen by our partner, the good, the bad, the ugly, the gorgeous, the whatever it is, and they love you regardless. They love you no matter what. To me, that is heaven on earth, that your spouse can love all aspects of who you are, stand with you, be with you, knowing that come what may, whether it's in wealth, whether it's in poverty, whether it's in illness, or whether it's in health, whatever it is, I've got your back.
And so what I've learned from my wife, because it's interesting that, you know, the reason I always had an aversion to, like, I've got your back is because I don't want to ever take the stance that people are against us or that people are going to sneak up from behind us. And yet, when she explained it, when Tamara was actually like, you know, this is just because I go through emotions and I go through things in life. I just want to know that there's always a safe place where I'm unconditionally embraced. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean when I say you've got my back. Not that... that, you know, you're going to protect me against someone that sneaks up from behind us, but if I happen to fall backward, that you'll be there, and I know that I'm safe because we're together. So, you know, we all have those things. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, different kinds of affection and some of the things to practice. And by the way, if you have a desire to learn more, Tamara and I have a website, heartvirtue.com, where you can reach either of us. heartvirtue.com. And the forms of affection. Tamara, one of the things I love, Tamara has beautiful feet. And I love to rub her feet. I love to just, you know, lightly or sometimes, and because I've got really strong hands, I do a lot of work with my hands. And when I do, my hands are really strong. And there are times when I've got to be careful because I'm actually a little aggressive. I think I'm giving her a nice massage and loosening up her feet. And all of a sudden she'll wince. And she far more prefers if I just rub my fingers lightly over the top of her feet, just lightly and tickle them. I know, you know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, rubbing her legs. I don't think she's particularly fond of that. I know her back is the most, what she loves the most. If I just rub her back or her head.
Her ears.
Her ears. Oh, yes. Love to rub her ears. And by the way, reflexology on the ears is amazing. And there's some points where you just hold a little point and there's times when people could be moved to tears. So holding someone's hand, and there's a lot of different ways to hold someone's hand. You can hold someone's hand kind of like, you know, like you do when you're in church and you don't really know the person and you're sitting next to them and you're very conscious of the fact that your hand's sweating and you're holding them and you're trying to be as still as possible. And, you know, there's another way of holding someone's hand where you actually are making love to their hand. You're just holding their hand and you're just caressing and you know, and make sure that there's time, like you may want to play with their fingernails. So just make sure that you're really conscious of how you're landing with your partner in these different things. You know, your partner may hate their feet being touched. There was a time when Tamara's mother, a very beautiful act of humility, she said, you know, because she's a very devout Christian, and she was just feeling like she wanted to do something humble, so she offered to wash Tamara and my feet. And I said, you know, I had some issues with my mother with inappropriate touch, and I'm not open for that.
Right.
So, you know, she was like, oh, okay. And she accepted it, and I felt really good about acknowledging my boundary. Now, the next time I might very well say, well, sure, not a problem. But this one particular time, it felt,
I felt like, you know, I'm not up for this. And you want to really acknowledge your boundaries with your partner and at the same time make sure you're not off-putting. If you're going to tell your partner what you don't like, please don't, you know, play with my fingernails. Tell them at the same time two things that you do like. Mm-hmm. I love how you hold my hand. I love how you caress the back of my hand. It feels a little uncomfortable when you play with my fingernails. Or I love when you rub my feet, and please don't tickle the bottom of my feet because I'm very ticklish. Mm-hmm. Or I love when you run your fingers through my hair, but please don't scratch my scalp with your nails. Now, Tamara, I think she loves any mm-hmm. of it. If I just pet her hair, if I run my fingers over her scalp, mm-hmm. if I actually, you know, scratch, you know, mm-hmm. she loves having your scalp scratched. And I think most people do. You know, they even sell those little tinglers. They're like have a bunch of little copper
fingers.
Sticks come out, and they're like fingers, and you put them over your head, and they give me goosebumps. So, mm-hmm. you know, so you really want to be open with your spouse. Communicate. Ask them, you know, find out. And look, if you don't feel comfortable asking your partner what kind of affection, you know, do they like, or you can't tell them what kind of affection you like, that's a telltale sign that you're not feeling safe. If you don't even feel safe to communicate, you're certainly not going to feel all that safe to touch. And, you know, Tamara is incredibly considerate because she's sexually the healthiest person I've ever met. She's a human sexuality professor. She's been a social
I've had
worker.
Lots of therapy.
Lots of therapy. And she did have some issues because as a child she was like Joan Binet. She was kind of dressed up all the time and wearing makeup from when she can first remember, and was pretty well paraded, and so has issues with having that kind of attention at this point. And yet she's incredibly, you know, it's a sign. You don't have to be sexually unhealthy your whole life just because you were incested as a child. You can go through therapy and learn to receive appropriate touch and get to a point where you feel really healthy sexually. Tamara, for Tamara, one of the things she realized, and ladies, this is, I got to tell you, it's one of the things that I am so grateful for about Tamara. She realizes that for men, sex is like food for their soul. Mm-hmm. So she's more forgiving. And if she's not feeling safe, and there's been a couple times when, you know, she kind of has her thermometer on whether, you know, I'm feeling a little bit horny or whatever, she'll say something. And yet, you know, like, hey, you want to make love tonight? And I'm usually well on top of it with, you know, and guys, you don't have sex in the evening. You have sex in the morning where you start telling your wife, I can't wait to get home today. I'm going to take you into my arms. And then during the day, you're sending her sexy text messages and letting her know how much you love her. And that's when you get to start the process of having sex in the evening. It starts in the morning. And just know that that's going to be the most rewarding. For women, you could walk, I'll bet most guys, you can just turn to, if your significant other's there, you just turn to him and have him shake his head yes or no as to whether this is true. All you have to do to turn him on and have him be 100% ready is stand before him naked. He doesn't need the morning, afternoon, and evening to get prepared for this. It's like, oh, okay, I'm ready. So
it's a difference between a microwave and a crock pot.
Yes, right? Men are like microwaves and women are like crock pots.
Right. You have to turn them on in the morning so they simmer all day long. And then men, you just pop them in and it's like 30 seconds.
Hit the 1 minute button.
I'm on.
And by the way, you know, guys, you know, we tend to think of sex as being really, you know, so important. Do you know that actually the statistics are that the standard, the average for sexual intercourse is 3 minutes, and that's on the mm-hmm. high end. So the time that you're actually having sex compared to the amount of time that you're actually affectionate with your significant other, all kinds of touch. And I can guarantee you that if you're just constantly in touch with your partner, in touch as in affection with your partner, that there will be a feeling of, wow, you know, I feel safe with the touch. Now, if your partner doesn't feel all that safe with sex, touch is definitely a way to bridge that gap and getting really comfortable with it.
Well, and you know what's really interesting is we know a guy that doesn't have any arms or legs. You know, our friend who's a speaker. And one of the things he says and he's married now, actually. He says, I may not be able to hold my wife's hand, but I can hold her heart.
And he does. And he's an incredibly honoring, affectionate fella. I wish I could remember his name right now. Nick, yeah.
Yeah, what a good guy. But see, there's a way of being that you can hold your spouse, you can hold your lover, you can hold their heart. And you do that with words of affection, words of admiration. So it doesn't, you know, affection can take so many different forms. In fact, that's why we can, you know, devote a whole hour to talking about affection, because, you know, there's so many nuances and variables and I think that we can be affectionate with our eyes, we can be affectionate with our heart, we can be affectionate with a hand on the shoulder. You know, it doesn't have to be limited even to physical.
Yes, and his name's Nick Vavichik, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but wonderful, beautiful person. We've met him a number of times on the speaking circuit that we've been in.
Yeah, he says, no arms, no legs, no worries.
And just a beautiful inspiration. So know that affection is going to be a really key ingredient in keeping your relationship healthy. There was a time in my life when I really withdrew from that whole world. I was a monk for a number of years, and any kind of physical indulgence or sexual indulgence for sure was way out. I was actually celibate, completely celibate for 8 years. So I know people can live without it.
And we make up for lost time.
Yes, we have, and it's beautiful. But, you know, people can live without affection for a long time, and yet keep in mind, marasmus is a real it's a real disease where if you're feeling that, you know, you're starving for affection, then it's probably natural.
And I want to encourage, too, if you're single, sign up, do a bunch of massages. Get a massage a week. Just make sure you're going in and experiencing touch in this body that we're in. You took on a body for a reason. You know, be able to feel yourself in it. You know, and even just take some bubble baths and, you know, just run your hand along your legs, your arms, and just thank God, you know, thank your legs. Be affectionate to them for having taken you all over, you know, this world, for having driven you, walked you. You know, thank your arms for preparing meals. Thank your arms for cleaning. Thank your arms for, you know, your vocation and what you're able to do. There's a way that we can literally be affectionate with ourselves that's not dependent on a partner. It's not dependent on a spouse. And we tell other people how to treat us by the way we treat ourselves. So be extra special kind to yourself. Be loving, be affectionate with yourself. Just put your arms around you and caress your arm yourself. Just, you know, stroke your own hair too. I mean, be kind to you. And one of the things that we notice too is that people are so hard on themselves, or they'll work their body into the ground. They'll sacrifice their body for a sport or whatever it is. Take the time to be exceptionally kind to you. Be affectionate to you.
And Tamara and I both come from the Los Angeles area, where there's an enormous amount of pressure on people to be, you know, have a very beautiful appearance. And so we found that a lot of people have a least favorite body part. And you know what yours is most like. Some people hate their hands, or they hate their feet, or they hate their, you know, their cheeks, or whatever it is. And so what Tamara's talking about when it comes to being affectionate, be affectionate with yourself. And right now, tell your least favorite body part that you love it. Give it a caress. Let it know that it's an integral part of your body that you're grateful for. You know, one of the things that we've learned is most important. Every relationship course Tamara and I have ever taken, appreciation and gratitude, is so important. And so expressing that to yourself and getting comfortable with affection, with the parts of your body that are not your favorite, and letting them know, thank you. You can be walking around telling me, oh, I hate my feet. Well, they carry you around, so be nice to them. And rub them and give them a, you know, a little cream at night. If it's your arms, you know, rub them. Tell them thank you. They might treat you a whole lot better and pep up.
perk up a little if, you know, they know that they're appreciated. But the one thing we want to leave you guys with is that affection is a telltale sign in relationships, and it's also one of the foundational aspects of romantic relationships. So use it as a thermometer. That's what we do, especially in the counseling we do with couples. We use it as a thermometer, and we use it as a very profound tool when we have couples together to have them experiment with touching and holding each other and just being affectionate. Nothing sexual at first, just affection, touching, feeling how it feels, and getting used to the power of affection.
And when you get up in the morning, instead of looking in the mirror going, oh my God, I look like whatever it is, fill in the blank, look in the mirror and give yourself a wink and blow yourself a kiss until you start to experience butterflies in your stomach. Fall in love with you and be amazing with your precious life.
And then when you share with your partner your affection, it will be a grateful overflowing of the love you have.
So we thank you so much. It's Greg and Tamara Montana covering for Max, who is in Italy right now.
And we send him warm, affectionate love across the seas all the way over to Italy. Bless your heart, Max. We love you. We love Ronan. Thank you for LA Talk Radio and the airwaves that were able to touch people's hearts in a very special way tonight.
And thanks for listening to Max and Friends. Have a good weekend.
Good night, everybody.